You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiyam Nisiyaya, Thikum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, Nisiyam Nisiyaya, and the Sakhuya Talitin, who Musqueam Astail. Welcome to Community Living Show here on the NCR Radio Networks and the Full Hour Show flagship station on CITR 101.9 FM. Hello and welcome to another edition of the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. I'm Kelly Rayburn. Across from me is Michael Rubin. How are you doing today, Michael?
Very curious.
You're curious?
Yes.
What are you curious about?
Well, it's just something that I found on the province today.
Okay.
It was tucked up in the right-hand corner, and this article itself is actually on page 20.
Okay. But
It's an article by Gordon Clark, mm-hmm. And it says, "Free speech is a one-way street in the transit vote."
Oh, okay. No,
I read through the article and some of the big things he actually highlights is. Like the Surrey mayor saying that no signs are not protected because a plebiscite is not an election.
Oh.
So the bylaw people can come and take your signs down. But the point is they're only taking down the no signs.
I know.
They're not taking down the yes signs. They're leaving those up. Yeah. So it just sounds like an agenda, and that's kind of what Gordon Clark was actually pointing out, was right. It sounds like an agenda to get the yes vote in and silence those who are against it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the last time I looked is we have free speech here in Canada.
Mm-hmm. They do.
So I don't know what the heck is going on. It's like, but it, I would say the...
It's like our freedom of speech is no longer... permitted.
Right, exactly. So it was just one really curious thing that I saw was like, and while he did get this, like I said, in the top right hand corner mm-hmm. Of the province, you had to.
Oops. Sorry. Try again.
I hate it when technical difficulties happen.
I know. There we go.
But he was buried all the way onto page 20, where the first article was about somebody denying the fact that he was involved in some kind of corruption or something like that in China.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, then we have our... home team, the Canucks, they had Trevor Raven and
Trevor Linden.
Trevor Linden and yeah. And friends.
Yes.
Saying that they're on the hot seat. And these are big, bold pitchers. And it's like,
yeah.
Well, it's like, I just thought that was kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know. So that was the opening of today's morning for me.
Wow.
Looking at the province, so.
Right.
So, yeah.
In other news.
do you remember our friend Karen McGill?
Yeah.
Well, she invited me over for tea and an interview. Mm-hmm. And if you give me a few seconds here. I'll set that up.
Go ahead.
We had quite the interesting conversation at her house, where she really digs deep into some of her struggles with MS, and and how she's thankful for actually finding out that she has MS, because it forced her into what she truly loves now, and being an author and a public speaker. So, yeah.
All right.
So, like I said, give me a few seconds here. To set that up. To
get that up. While we are setting that up, just to let you guys know that you are tuning to the Community Living Show here on the NCRA Radio Networks. And, of course, me, the operator, Kelly, and Michael Rubin is across from me. So we are here from 9 till 10 a.m. Thursday mornings. And, of course, that's on the flagship station, CITR. We're hoping to do some more shows in the upcoming future. We're hoping to expand the NCRA radio stations across BC. Hopefully we will get connected with Victoria, with the CFUV portion of the show, which we want to try and do, and have the show broadcast. Well, I wouldn't say fully broadcast on the island, but would be nice to have the broadcast on the island connecting with us and all around the National Community Radio Associations. So are we ready to go?
Oh, we just need to plug in our last wire here.
Exactly. And away we go.
And away we go.
All right.
Karen.
Go in with our intro. All right. So, welcome back to the Community Living Show here on the NCRA Networks. And we're here again. This time to do a one-hour interview with Karen McGill. The last time we had her on, she was on the half-hour version, and she talked a little bit about her books and becoming an inspirational speaker and things like that. But we want to get more into her story and how she actually got started down the path of inspiration and appearing on stage.
Good to see you again, Michael.
It's always a pleasure.
Well, thank you. June 5th, 2000, I woke and I rolled over to turn off my alarm. And my left arm didn't move. This is really weird. So, okay, something's going on. But like I say, nature was calling. I had to get up. As soon as I put my feet on the ground and put some weight on it, my left leg collapsed. So I crawled from my bedroom to the bathroom. It was a very short distance. And went to the washroom and everything else. When I was brushing my teeth, I noticed that the left side of my face wasn't moving. It was as if somebody had drawn an invisible line down the center of my body. Mm-hmm. The right side worked, but the left side didn't. I mean, and everyone asked me, weren't you terrified? Weren't you scared? And for some reason, I wasn't that morning. In fact, I went to work. I was a tax collector. I went into work, and then I went to the doctor later, and he sent me over to St. Paul's Hospital because he was right across the street. And I sat there. I was there 7.5 hours. And, you know, it was poking and prodding me. Nobody's telling me anything. No suspicions, nothing. So, I mean, then I think I was starting to get scared then. Mm-hmm. But, actually, I was hungry. Because once you get into emergency, you're not supposed to eat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's instant nothing by mouth.
Yeah. So, 7.5 hours, I was hungry. My mom, I phoned her and told her, something was wrong, and she didn't hear from me. She started calling around and found out I was sitting in the emergency at St. Paul's. So she came up, and then my father came mm-hmm. also. So he ended up driving me home after the 7.5 hours. A couple of days later, I went to see a neurologist, and he scheduled me for an MRI. 9 days later, the MRI, it was like 7 a.m. Thank God for my father. He drove me. Got me there in time and had the, and then I went home and waited. The neurologist called me in to come into his office. I think it was about 5. And my parents met me there and went in. I should have known because he said, would you like your mother to come in with you? I said, no, fine, you know. I'm a big girl. I can handle this. And I should have known then there was something serious. And he told me it was a suspicion of multiple sclerosis. That's the way they had to go through my whole medical history. And because one attack, they will not definitely right. say it's multiple sclerosis. But we, my father and I went mentally over my history and realized that I had at least one before. I had a skull fracture when I was 19. Mm-hmm. And it was funny, when I went in the end of September, I went to the MS clinic at UBC. And my MS neurologist thought it was really interesting because he says more people are coming in being diagnosed with MS and they've had head trauma at some time in their life.
Yeah.
So they're wondering if there's a connection. Hmm. So I walked with a cane for about 13 years. I went on disability the end of September. October 1st. And it was really, it was a tough couple of months there. Because you're trying to get everything organized.
Yeah.
And the way my specialist had written down my diagnosis, EI kept questioning it. Because he said, I was likely never to return to work. And because he didn't put an end date on it, I just kept, wanting right. to me to reprove I was disabled.
Well, their ultimate goal is to put you back to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you try getting some, and I'd have to go through all the motions of calling around and trying to get things done. One time it was 3 days before Christmas. I got a notification that they weren't going to pay me anymore. They're canceling my claim and try getting something done then.
Oh, God. Government office. I imagine that was probably a little disturbing, especially around the holidays. And that's a really stressful time for people to begin with.
Yeah. And stress makes MS worse.
Yeah.
So I was always having all these symptoms and I'm still new to it.
So. I'm curious about one thing in that day that you wound up at St. Paul's.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had a similar experience. I've had Bell palsy 5 times.
Yeah.
And which there were doctors are amazed. It's like,
you can't get it 5 times. Yeah.
Once in the odds of you getting it a second. 5? What? They're like, and they've done other bacteria tests to try to prove it was something else, and it was just what it was. But I remember the first time I woke up with it. It was like, and I'm like standing in front of the mirror. I go to brush my teeth, and it's like, I can't feel the toothbrush on this side of my face. Hey, how come this people don't want to move? And you're talking about like that.
Yeah,
I'm poking fun at it because I can look back at it now, but it was really stressful. What the heck is going on with my body?
It is. It's kind of. Did you have like I did like a delayed reaction? Like you were just curious at the beginning.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, something's not right.
It was like, something's not right. Oh, well, I just slept on the wrong side of the bed or something like that, and the window was open, so I had, you chill, whatever, right?
Yeah.
And it'll clear itself up in a couple of minutes, right? Just continue with your day and get ready for work, right?
Well, it was funny because That weekend, I gone out on a, it was supposed to be a blind date. The guy was a musician. And gone to the club to see him. And my right leg actually started. And it was wobbly, like Gumby legs. That's the only way I can describe it. You know, like the, that green Gumby doll?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was just, I don't know, it was spasming. My leg was spasming.
So how did you move from the denial of something's wrong, because obviously you said you went to work,
yeah,
to landing in the ER?
Well, I had made a doctor's appointment because, you know, something is definitely wrong. And people are coming in, like my colleagues at work are coming in and looking at me and going, something is going on, right? And so I made a doctor's appointment. And when I went up there and he poked me and prodded me and said, no, you better go to emergency. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You know, it's the way, yeah, it's the way it goes. I'm glad I did go.
Yeah. I'm glad you went too. Because something more traumatic could have happened.
Yeah. I mean, well, there's not much they could do. Like they said that when they got the diagnosis that the paralysis would probably go away. And it did. The left side of my body was weak for a lot of years. I walked with a cane up until 2013.
Yeah.
And then I got rid of the cane and thought, well, actually what happened was is I went shopping at Safeway. Mm-hmm. It's about a mile and a half from here. And I propped my cane outside against the a post and was taking pictures of the clouds. Then went into the store and forgot it. When I came out, somebody had taken it. So I thought, okay. Started backtracking in case I left it somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And I thought, got home, I thought, well, I can walk that far without a cane. I don't need it.
Universe speaking.
Yeah. Don't you say,
Karen,
yeah?
It's time to let it go.
Time to let it go. And that's when I kept a diary.
Yeah.
Through the whole time from the
did
attack.
Did that help you?
It would help me because that's what I did is I took it. And it went in, created a book on the right side. My story of survival and success. Mm-hmm. That's where all that comes from, is my diary. And the poem at the end is from, I wrote a poem, so it would have been January 2001. And that's when I first started healing, I think. That's when I started writing again.
Yeah.
Yeah, but keeping the diary was great. It was really emotional going through it, though, when I was writing the book. I had to get up and walk away from the computer because it was just so intense at times.
Yeah.
Remembering, you know, because I felt, oh, especially when I went on disability, I felt like I was a loser and wasn't worth much and all this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So. That's not true because I'm now getting into the speaking and...
Clearly not a loser.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you wound up on disability...
Mm-hmm.
And how did you transition from that to writing to now you're a speaker?
Well, I've always written, ever since I was a child. My grandmother was a published author. And I had a couple of books that I'd written years ago. Nothing ever happened with them. Mm-hmm. And in 2004, I self-published my first one. The Bond, a Paranormal Love Story. It's a novella, it's short, mm-hmm. but it has actually won an award, though. In 2012, it won an award. It's been looked at by some movie producers. Nobody's mm-hmm. picked up on it. So, and then I started, when I moved into this place, they were starting to renovate above me. Mm-hmm. It was about 5 years ago. And I went, there's no way I'm going to be able to stay at home with all that going on. Because they tore out the carpets and put down tile. Mm-hmm. So I started walking and I started my blog, Vancouver Vagabond.
And you're listening to the Community Living Show. Michael.
We're up to our break, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But mention what we were talking about.
So that was Karen McGill. Author of The Right Side, as you heard. And you can find her online at magillcollective.com. And Magill is M-A-G-I-L-L.
All right. We'll take a break. This is the Community Living Show.
Are you not sure where to go on campus? Traveling late at night and afraid to go alone? Call SafeWalk, a free service where a co-ed team will take you anywhere you need to go on campus. Don't walk alone. For a walk, add SafeWalk to your phone. Call 604-822-5355. That's 604-822-5355. Alternatively, use a UBC Blue phone and ask for SafeWalk. Approach any SafeWalk team or drop by our office on the main floor of the sub across from the gallery lounge. Because you're mine, I walk
the line. Have you received your Metro Vancouver Transportation and Transit Plebiscite voting package? If you didn't receive your voting package and you would like one mailed to you, simply call Elections BC at 1-800-661-8683. That's 1-800-661-8683. Or go online at elections.bc.ca/OVR to register or update your voter information and ask for a voting package to be mailed to you. This message is brought to you by Elections BC.
And of course, you've got to do it before May 5th. I think that's what the Elections BC is trying to tell us. Anyways, we're back on the Community Living Show. I'm Kelly Rayburn. Along with me is Ryko Rubin.
And we'll go back to our interview with Karen Magill.
All right, here we go. Oops, sorry, maybe we should try this again. I didn't press the button here.
On either the NCRA networks or the on our podcasts. We actually met at Bill 2014 in Vancouver, and it was at what's the name of the club?
560?
560, yeah.
Yeah, on Seymour.
On Seymour, yes.
Yes.
Here, of course, downtown Vancouver. And I had just missed, Karen's talk when I finally got into the venue. Because Bill is great, it's awesome, but sometimes Bill isn't always organized. So I had trouble finding my name. So I had just missed your talk, but I was taking photographs, and I was trying to get snippets for this particular radio show, something usable to when we were still solely on the co-op radio and not completely on the NCRA networks like we are now. So I was trying to get snippets for that so that we could play stuff from Bill because it's so inspirational.
Oh, it is. I saw Bradley Shind on Global News, and he was mentioning it. And I'd never spoken in front of a crowd of people before. But I just had this book published on the right side. I thought, to get my message out, I've got to get in front of people.
Yes.
And talk to them. I've always been the one that sat in the crowd and heckled. You know, heckled the speakers. But I saw Bradley, and then I tracked down the Bill, and like it's all volunteer, and they asked people they needed garbage bags. So fine, I'll bring garbage bags, and I want to speak. I want 10 minutes to speak. And as soon as I hit send, or posted it on this, the Bill wall they had there, I thought I was going to be sick. My God, what did I do? Me, speak in front of people? I can't do it, can't do it. I just, I'm literally shaking, but you can't take it back.
Yeah.
And now I'm in Toastmasters. I speak regularly, and I spoke at Bill this year.
Yes, you did. And we actually aired. So there's going to be a bit of a timeline for those that are listening on the podcast. We actually did air your talk for 2015.
Oh, okay.
We have actually aired that. That tells people a little bit about your story and a little bit of your quest to to inspire people to for them to move past whatever it is they think is a disability and turn around and make it use and use it so that they can the same energy into becoming an ability. So
yeah.
So that was one of your core messages. So.
Yeah, that we're stronger than we think. That
yeah.
These things, because I find that too many times in our society, it's almost as if they want us to be weak. You know, you drink too much, you're automatically an alcoholic, and it's because you've got some deep, dark secret in your past. You're powerless against it.
Mm-hmm.
Same with drug addicts. I mean, it can't just be that, you know, somebody likes the taste of alcohol, or a drug addict tried it one day and got hooked.
Yeah.
It just out of curiosity, because I think that happens a lot too. But no, it's got to be some deep dark secret, and you're a victim. That's the word I was trying to think of. We're all trying to make us all victims.
Yeah.
And I don't believe anybody's really a victim.
No. We may have had some tragic things happen that we learn from, but a victim is a state of mind, not
good point. Yeah,
something from a tragedy,
and that's what I'm just trying to help people realize, and mm-hmm. just that, as you said, take the energy that you have about considering yourself disabled, and turn it around and realize what you can do.
Yeah.
Rick Hansen.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote when I first became disabled. Somebody in my apartment building, I lived in New West at the time, they've been cleaning out another apartment, and they gave me a whole box of books, and one of them was Rick Hansen's, a story about his journey, and it touched me so much I wrote him, and he wrote me back, and he said, I'm going to paraphrase because I can't remember the exact wording, basically to focus on what I can do and don't worry about what I can't. And what I found is that every time you start focusing on what you can do, there's more and more that you can do. It just kind of feeds together. And I sent him an email, a thank you for that, just recently, and told him that, you know, I've got 5 books published now. I'm now into the motivational speaking. And he answered me and told me, he was wowed by what I've done, and to keep in touch and let him know.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that I've got him in frames on my wall. You can see him, you can see him later.
Yeah. That'd be really cool.
Yeah, so it meant a lot to me.
Yeah. So he's one of your heroes.
Him and Terry Fox.
Terry Fox, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember Terry Fox. It was it 1980 or something? Somewhere in the 1980s when he died, right?
Oh, yeah. I think he was, let's see, 84, I think, is when he did his marathon of hope.
But his message made it all the way down into the U.S.
Made it worldwide,
Yeah. It was like, What a wonderful message it was, just to keep going.
Well, you know,
wasn't going to stop.
You know the Terry Fox Loonies?
Yeah.
I collect them, and like I've given some to friends of mine in other parts of the world. I sent one down to a woman I knew who was a teacher in Florida, and she worked with disadvantaged children. And she said they were just so impressed with his story. Because every time I sent one out, I would include his story in there, right?
Yeah.
For people that weren't familiar or maybe forgotten about it.
Mm-hmm.
And she said those kids were just so impressed. You know, gave them such hope that this man who had cancer and lost a leg could actually do what he did.
He kept running.
Yeah, he just kept running.
So, yeah, it's an amazing story. In a lot of respects, your story is equally as amazing.
Well, thank you.
You didn't let MS just put you in a chair and take you out of the game. You kept going.
Well, with me, a lot of it is that my father used to say that getting MS was one of the best things that happened to me. And in a way it was. I still think also my job with the government so that I had everything in place, like disability insurance and all that in place before I got sick, was very beneficial. A very good thing to happen to me. But the MS, now I get to stay home and write. And now I get to pursue my dreams. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not locked into a 9-to-5 job.
What is your biggest dream?
Right now, it's to be a speaker on the same level as Anthony Robbins.
Is he another hero?
Well, I don't know if he's really a hero. I admire what he's done. He's done. You know, but I wouldn't know. I don't know enough about him for him to be a hero.
Yeah.
I just want to achieve that level of success.
Yeah. To be able to fill the big rooms.
Be able to fill the big rooms and do that. And another is to get my message out to people. Help people change their life for the better.
That is what the ultimate message is. You know,
it is.
To live your life well.
To live your life well and don't let... Because I mean, I don't think anybody has a perfect life. You can have all the money in the world and you can have, you know, perfect health and everything else, but there's still going to be something not right.
Could we say that it's perfect for you, but not perfect for me?
Yeah.
Because it's your life.
Yeah. But like,
there's some things that you're supposed to do, purposes you're supposed to achieve, right?
Yeah. And I think that every time that you don't have a purpose, like something, a goal to go for, mm-hmm. that's sad life.
Yeah.
I would like to be on the same level of success as Anthony Robbins and to go out there and, I don't want a big fancy house. Though in Vancouver, you're going to pay a mint for a house anyways, no matter how big it is.
Yeah, don't necessarily know. It's like that's an achievement if you actually have
a house
here in Vancouver.
Yeah, you have to have the same level of success as Anthony Robbins to get a house in Vancouver.
Mm.
But I like, you know, a nice house, reasonable house, and then be able to help people financially. Mm. Give to different organizations and
do you work with any specific organizations right now?
No, not right now. Right now, I'm trying to get everything moving so that I can. It's kind of hard to do when you're on disability and all that, and my energy is limited too, so that's the bad part about MS.
Yeah. So how has MS actually affected your energy levels?
Chronic fatigue is one of the main symptoms, and that's what knocks a lot of people out of work.
Yeah.
Because once I start getting overtired, I was saying with like Bill on the Saturday, for some stupid reason, I woke up at 2:30 in the morning. and I couldn't get back to sleep. So I was tired.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, with Bill, it's a high level of excitement, getting things done, getting things organized. And you always had something's always forgotten, but that's part of the fun of Bill.
Yeah, because I actually showed up this particular time in 2015 at the was it in the Imperial Theater?
The Imperial Theater, yeah. I mean.
I actually showed up on Sunday, and yes, I am now officially a Bill speaker. I actually got to get my feet wet. This particular one, and I got to
that's
got
right
to speak. Yeah,
sorry, I think I caught part of your speech. You didn't catch it all though.
Yes, you did get get to catch part of it. Unfortunately, while I was able to record you and Dwayne Clausen, one of our other friends, and Jennifer Coe, I was able to get her speech. Mine was just a massive feedback.
Oh.
I didn't get to record my own.
Well, then yeah, you have to make arrangements next year.
Yeah. So. Yeah. But that's okay because Michael Cummings is a real easy guy to speak with.
Oh, Michael Cummings is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For those of you listening, Michael Cummings is the actual organizer for Bill Vancouver. He has a good stake in Bill LA, and he has recently organized Bill Tunisia. So he's quite the busy guy.
Yeah, I looked at all the places Bill's been,
mm-hmm.
and Paris and all this.
Yeah.
But I asked Michael, I says, no, none in Texas, where Michael's from.
Yeah.
And so is Cody. Cody Marks Bailey, he's from Texas.
Yeah. Says something about the area, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, but he's never gotten one off in Texas. But
yeah.
Lisa, you got it. It's the end of, supposed to be right after Bill next, or right after Ted next year. Mm-hmm. So it's February 20th and 21st, I think.
Yeah.
So, everyone's got to come down. I don't know where they're going to have it, though. No, nothing. None of that's been. It's a bit early, but
yeah,
none of that's been confirmed.
Yeah. So, but it's a pretty exciting happening when Bill is in town. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I love it. But we were talking about chronic fatigue, and the fatigue, and I by the end of that night, I was after Bill, and we went out for drinks, and I was vibrating.
Mm-hmm.
The Sunday, after everything shut down, and you know, we went out for something to eat and drinks, and then we were supposed to go out to where Michael Cummings, the apartment he was staying in, but I hit a wall, and that was it.
Yeah.
And by the time I got home, I started to shake, and I couldn't get warm. Nerves, I guess, from coming down after Bill.
Yeah.
And then just. Your fatigue. I had to lay in a hot bathtub. And hot, the heat isn't good for MS either because it can exacerbate symptoms. So, it was either I sit there and shake all night or maybe suffer a minor, you know, an exacerbation. So.
Yeah. It's kind of funny mentioning the chronic fatigue because I see you as this ball of energy all the time.
Well, I fake it a lot. A lot of times, I'm really tired, but I just fake it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's like that guy was giving massages. Were you there when he was doing that?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
At Bill. And on Sunday, I think that's, give me a massage and I relax. And like Kay, a lady that was there, Kay Bertuco, I think her pronounce her last name, but anyway, she says one of the best things was just seeing me relax. But then when I relax, I get tired. I realize how tired I am.
Yeah.
So I try to stay hyper.
Yeah. Yeah. I've only ever seen you like go go go. It's like, you're just this wonderful ball of positive energy, making people keep going, achieve more. So.
Well, I like helping people. Yeah. I realize that it's like, what I really loved this year at Bill was putting people together with the people they needed.
Mm-hmm.
Like somebody, well, they've got a problem with their presentation and they're on the main stage, so I connected them with that person there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love doing that, just okay, fine. You go here, you talk to this person, you talk to that person.
Yeah. So, did the MS actually give that? Because I know you said you were a tax collector before. government worker is like, and when I picture like tax collector, government worker, I picture this little cubicle, 4x4, like desk barely fits in there.
Well,
sort of thing. And now I see you. You're all over the place. Did MS give you the freedom to help more people?
I think it did, because it gave me a message. It taught me a lesson. Because when I was first went on disability, I actually thought that that was it for my life. Mm-hmm. I couldn't. The official line on MS is that it doesn't kill. But, you know, it can make your life miserable. And all I could see was I'd be in a wheelchair, you know, in this one-bedroom apartment. Just me and my birds. And then I developed an allergy to my birds, so they had to go. But it, like I say, gave me a story to tell.
Yeah.
So okay. That was?
That was Karen McGill again. Again, you can find her at KarenMcGill.com. And McGill is M-A-G-I-L-L.
All right. So on that note, we're going to take a break. And we'll be back. This is Community Living Show.
How much do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's nonprofit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and then get riding.
Late Night Show is the start of the weekend. We play all types of D&D or jungle for the first half of the show. On the second half of the show, it gives you that irritating noise that you just don't want to hear it. Or it could be some ambient sounds that might drift off and or fall asleep in the moment of life. Or it could be some new age that you just heard on most stations, but even better. Or it could be that this music has no beat or drums in that music. Either way, tune into Late Night Show, now broadcasting on Saturday mornings at 12:30 a.m. right after the Medicine Show, also hosted by me, DJ Ray, and Jason Lawrence. If you happen to hear us around the world, you can always check us out at CITR.ca. Welcome back to the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. And we'll probably finish up the discussion with Karen now.
Yep.
All right.
It's the last few minutes, okay?
All right. Let's do this.
Because it's hard to be inspiring to people if you haven't gone through something.
It's true. That is true. See, giving you lots to write about also.
Oh, yeah. Well, that and my blog, Vancouver, the history of Vancouver Vagabond, that's where, hang on, my third book, Missing Flowers, I got to combine Vancouver history with the paranormal.
Well,
it's interesting.
That sounds fun.
Well, yeah, she goes back into time. There's a psychic, she moves from Toronto to Vancouver. Mm-hmm. Starts dreaming of women being murdered. So it's inspired by the missing women's case.
Yeah.
And let's see, she moves to Vancouver. And then she goes to a press hearing at the police station and meets this detective there who thinks she's a flake. And then when she leaves, she goes back into time, into the body of a Chinese prostitute in the late 1800s. Mm-hmm. And that's how I got to tie in history with the whole paranormal thing.
Oh. So. Sounds like a really cool book.
Yeah, I had it when it was originally with the publisher Saga Books, but they shut down last year. Mm-hmm. So I had to republish it on my own.
How'd that work?
Oh, good. It was just a scramble to get everything done. And I'm going to stay self-published. Because I like it. I get the control over the cover and the editing, you know. Get the editing done and I get to control the price. And I get all the money.
Wow.
You know, and any money I make, I get to keep.
Yeah.
Because I have to do all the work anyways, all the promoting and things, so I might as well keep the money.
There you go.
The Saga books, I mean, they were good.
Is it something that you want to help other authors realize
about
the self-publishing?
Not really. Everyone's got to choose their own path.
Hmm.
And self-publishing is taken off a lot.
Yeah.
Because it's just, you know, well, with print-on-demand, because that's where my books are done, print-on-demand, so when you order them, they print them then.
Yeah.
And that's opened up a lot of doors for people. Hmm. And then, of course, the ebooks. I mean, it's just simple now. You can publish an ebook. Instead of waiting years, you just bam, bam, it's done.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we get a lot of garbage out there, too, because of that, but...
Mm. Everybody wants to write a book, huh?
Yeah. Well, I was researching for a speech I'm doing, and the other day, I looked on Amazon.com,
mm-hmm.
and in the last 30 days, 82,830 ebooks have been published. That's a lot of books.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what genres they all were, but that's the way it was. So it's a lot of books.
A lot of books.
A lot of people trying to get rich.
Well, we won't get into that.
Well, you know, they hear stories about, like, Shades of Grey. Or 50, what is that? Oh, 50 Shades of Grey?
Yeah.
God, 2013, that guy made over 60 million Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
A bit more than I made. Just a little.
No, but... Yeah, I don't know. What's more important, the money or the message?
The message. My message for my nonfiction, the message.
Yeah.
And the money's good, though, because then it can help me get the message out to more people.
Right. So it's not about just collecting the money. It's about what you're going to do with the money.
Right. That's the thing. I mean, money is great. I'm not going to lie. I live in Vancouver. You need money to live in Vancouver. I mean, but... It's what you can do, who you can help with it, that's more important.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I would love, if I won the lottery, I would say I would buy myself a house, buy my mom a condo, and pay off all her bills.
Yeah.
Help her out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just, I would love, and then I would have so much I would give to charities every month.
Yeah.
Like, a different one. Not the same one all the time. Like Terry Fox, Rick Hansen Foundation, the Gospel Mission.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good.
All these dreams.
For a big heart.
Well, thank you. Well, just, I would love to see more people help themselves more. It's like I walk down to Maine and Hastings area.
Yes.
And it saddens me to see that. It frustrates me, too.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I can't help them. And you can't force somebody to find a better path in life or to help themselves. It's the sad thing, we can't force them.
Yeah. They have to want it to begin with.
Right.
Yeah. So, that's one thing that I guess.
Okay. That was yeah. Carrie. Am I right? Well, that person's got one Carrie, thing right? That was it. Okay.
Yeah, it was Karen. Okay. Karen McGill.
Yeah, Karen McGill. So, and of course, you can contact her when?
Contact her at KarenMcGill.com.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's her website. And you'll find all kinds of stuff there, how to buy her books and things like that. She's actually, she's talked a little bit about the right side.
Yeah.
And as she said in that bit of story there, that it was her right side that that went numb on her,
right?
And that's what landed her in the emergency room and at St. Paul's, and her diagnosis with MS. So that's why she named the book what she did. It was because it was her right side that went numb,
right?
If you struggle with anything, go out, pick up her book, and read it, and see how she just learned to keep adapting and finding what it was that she did have to actually offer the world, finding her message.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you know, it's a really great story, a good book and everything. And okay. She's got some other fiction stuff and things like that she's written. So
right.
Yeah.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah.
So we got another 8 more minutes to go until we wrap up. So upcoming shows. What are the upcoming shows that is happening down the road?
Well, I know one thing that will be coming up in the next few weeks, and that's I have a meeting with these folks today to talk about shooting the video of the Net Squared Vancouver conference.
Right.
That's coming up in May. So I hope to have a couple of the talks from that that we can put on air because they're another group that wants to build more community and sustainable and community that anyone can join into. You don't have to, you know.
Yeah.
They believe in equality. They believe in an economy that anyone can have a bank account and join into. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
yes.
So hopefully we'll have some of those talks.
Mm. Yesterday I was over at Vancouver City Hall. They were talking about some of the plans for a Wi-Fi throughout the city.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just negotiation of talking about if it was Wi-Fi for emergency, you know, response for the city of Vancouver. I know you probably would use those types of Wi-Fi for emergencies, including the Port of Vancouver, where they had the fire
right
a month ago or something like that. And another part of the agenda was talking about St. Paul's Hospital, but I didn't go there for long because I'm kind of a little bit of an anxious person, just, you know, just to walk around and, you know, do some activities instead of people like dealing with long talks and stuff like that. So I was more, when is it ever going to, you know, when is it ever going to get topicked about it?
Right.
So I know for a fact that they talked about probably in their general meetings and City Hall, which is, of course, the discussion of St. Paul's Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And you were mentioning about that as well. So.
Yeah.
We're hoping to get you did talk it over with the city of Vancouver, am I right?
Yeah, they're still trying to figure out the provincial plan too, so.
Okay, so then the provincial plans, maybe talk to one of the MLAs
yeah
as well. So that's on an upcoming discussion. So I'm going to leave you with one song. I just had it a moment ago. Tell us about next week's show. If we get a chance.
Let's see. Who do we have for next week? Oh, we got to open up our calendar again. Hold on.
Not a problem.
It's not like I always remember everything.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. But eventually we get the events that are coming on anyway, so.
I am trying to make new connections with some folks to get.
Ooh, what was that? 2015 Ford Focus believes in more. That's yours.
Is it?
Yeah, that's yours. There you go.
Oh, okay.
Go on.
I don't know where the heck that came from.
I don't know.
Something had an ad in it, and I didn't realize. I'm trying to make more connections with some other groups to have more guests come and more interviews, things like that. Mm-hmm. So,
well, on that note, we must be going right now. So our next show's right in front of us. So we must leave. Right now, so on that note, we will say goodbye to everybody here on the Community Living Show. We end the show with a song called Whatever Is Your Heart by Brandy Carey. So, see you again.
Okay.
I think it's time we found a way back home. You lose so many things you love as you grow. I miss the days when I was just a kid. My fear became my shadow, I swear it did. Wherever is your heart, I call home. Wherever is your heart, I call home. Though your feet may take you far from me, I know. Wherever is your heart, I call home. You made me feel like I was always falling, always falling down without a place to land. Somewhere in the distance heard you calling, oh it hurts so bad to let go of your hand. Wherever is your heart?
Wherever is This May 2nd at the Biltmore, Waxahachie with guest Girlpool and Knife Pleats. From Brooklyn, pop singer-songwriter Waxahachie is on tour to support her new release, Ivy Trip. Early show with doors at 8, show at 9. Brought to you by Tambor Concerts on CITR 101.9. You can run, you can hide, you're a giant.
It depends on the damage you cause. My name is David Scott. I play wide receiver for the University of British Columbia football team, and I'm here to discuss the Be More Than a Bystander program. Myself and a few other players were lucky enough to work alongside the BC Lions and EVA, the Ending Violence Association, to support this cause. The main goal of the Be More Than a Bystander initiative is to increase awareness of domestic violence against women. For more information on the cause, please visit endingviolence.org.
Hello, you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM. Live from unceded Musqueam territory in Vancouver, BC, on the campus of the University of British Columbia. My name is Eric Coates. I'm your host. The show is again A Face for Radio, a music show with interludes about nothing, which happen to be thematic. This week I'll be talking a little bit about irrational hatred. Not really hatred, irrational dislikes. Things that I don't really like for no particular reason. But before we get into that, let's listen to some songs. So we're going to start it off with the chart-topping early 60s song by Jackie Shane called Any Other Way.
And you say that you're my friend, but I know why you're here. She wants to know how I feel. Tell her that I'm happy. Tell her that I'm gay. Tell her I wouldn't have it any other way. There he goes with a broken heart. But when you see my baby, here's what you say. Tell her I wouldn't have it any other way. Better say goodbye. I think you'd better go right now, or you might see me cry. But when you see my baby, this is what you say. Tell her I wouldn't have it any other way.
Trapped in snow, you wait for the right moment. that time.